Man, the fog rolled in. Let's see, announcements. We've got door knocking, house to house this weekend, 2 o'clock after church. And then remember, we've got the booth at the 4-H show, 29th through February 1st. And we'll set up 29th, which is pretty simple. Do that in the evening. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which is January 30, 31, and then February 1st, scheduled to be there 8 to 8. So we'll have that booth there. And we'll need volunteers to work it, and then also we'll need baked goods for the booth, because we'll also, in addition to have tracks and the three doors and just the way we've done it the last couple of years, we get in there and we got baked goods that we'll be selling, so think about what you'd be cooking for that. So that is the end of this month. I guess that's only, we're already halfway through January. Isn't that crazy? It's almost Christmas again, isn't it? Golly. Oh, man. All right, Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read the first three verses of this chapter. And this entire chapter deals with the theme tonight. But we're just going to cover the first three verses. Deals with no confidence, having no confidence in the flesh. And while you're turning there, Philippians 3, verses 1 through 3. That was the primary issue with the Jews. They trusted in their heritage that they were Jews and that they were good with God because they were Jews. And that was, there's a difference between the nation of Israel and then individuals. And so God would use the nation of Israel. However, not everyone in that nation as individuals is saved. And so you'll see that, we'll see that at the end of this. But that's one distinction in your Bible you got to make. Sometimes the Lord's talking about the nation of Israel, and he did use and will use the nation of Israel. But that there's a distinction to be made between nations and individuals. And so the Jews as individuals thought because they were a part of the nation of Israel that they were good with God, and that's not true. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." All right, that little phrase, no confidence in the flesh, that's the theme of what we're going to talk about tonight. And really, that's the theme of this chapter. But let's pray, and then I'll give you three things out of these three verses that have to do with having no confidence in the flesh. But let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for a good morning this morning with the guys, good time of prayer, and a good time of Bible study. And Lord, thank you for those guys that take time out of their day to be a part of that. Pray for folks on the prayer list, and Lord, for salvation, for health issues, for all kinds of things. And Lord, thank you for that good time this morning. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill all of us with your Holy Spirit to get what we need from you. And Lord, for the kids over in the fellowship hall, that you minister to them the way they need to be ministered to and help them. And Lord, I pray that we would get what we need from you tonight and learn what we need to learn tonight, and apply it where it needs to be applied. And Lord, I thank you for each soul that's here, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Having no confidence in the flesh. I gave you an illustration about the Jews. That's an illustration of someone having confidence in the flesh. In the Bible, and according to the Lord, Your sin nature is defined as your flesh. That's where the sin resides. I mean, if you wanted to biologically point to it, that's where it is. It's defined as your flesh. And God's condemnation is on the works of the flesh. You know, he talks about in Galatians chapter 5, you got the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh, and God's condemnation is on what the flesh does. Because it is selfish by nature, it loves itself, it's the old man, it is fully against God, and that is why there is such a battle. Once you get saved, you realize there's a battle going on that you probably didn't know that much about before. But boy, once you get saved and you've got the Holy Spirit inside you and you try to serve God, you just find out, like Paul found out, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I mean, it is a part of this. It's part of me. And so the flesh is ever present, you know, with these bodies. It is at enmity with God. And, you know, we sing the song, "There is power in the blood." And that is God providing a body that was and is acceptable to him, of flesh and blood that is acceptable to him. And when we say things like "there's power in the blood," there's power in the blood because God accepts it. That's the power, is that God accepted it. And God is accepting it and will accept it. He accepts the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what gives it power. If he didn't accept it, it would have no power. So that's the thing that makes the blood of Jesus Christ powerful. Now, going back to our flesh, Paul says it this way. He says, you know, in verse 1, there's an opportunity now because of Jesus Christ and what he's done, because of his sacrifice in the flesh to substitute his flesh for our flesh and his blood for our blood, so that it would be acceptable to God. He says in verse 1, now you have an opportunity now to forsake all of the confidence you had in your flesh. And you say, okay, why would I want to do that? Because there is a 100% failure rate of your flesh. Everybody that's lived on this earth has died. I mean, except for Enoch and Elijah. I know there's two exceptions out of billions of people. Basically, 99.999 whatever percent, the body is headed for a grave. It has a 100% failure rate. And so you have, in light of this overwhelming evidence that there's no reason to put confidence in the flesh, we still put confidence in the flesh. Like it is something to behold and we're fascinated by it. We're fascinated by athletes who can move and maneuver their bodies and have muscles, you know, just like Goliath. He was just a physical specimen of a man, and he was a champion, the Bible says, but it was his physical attributes that made him what he was in the world. And that is the definition of someone having confidence in the flesh. Also along those lines, having confidence in the flesh, like we mentioned, the Jews having confidence in their flesh. Hey, we are Abraham's children, therefore we're good with God. Again, that's confidence in the flesh. In spite of the fact that their flesh will one day be laid in a grave, there's no reason to have confidence in it. So Paul says in verse 1 here, chapter 3, verse 1, in Jesus Christ, he provides an opportunity that you and I need, is to have confidence, or to have no confidence in this flesh, but we can't have confidence in Jesus Christ. So he says this. He says in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. This is the idea. Rejoice in the Lord. Why would you rejoice in the Lord? Well, if you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided a substitutionary body and substitutionary blood for you, that's reason to rejoice now. God can accept you on the basis of Jesus Christ, so you have a reason to rejoice. Let's look at a couple other ones. Look in Well, hang on just a second before we get there. So there's a reason to rejoice. But he said this. He says, to write, in verse 1, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. All right, what in the world does that mean? To write the same things to you is not grievous, but to you is safe. What is he talking about? Have you ever said, you know, I feel like I have to keep repeating myself. Why do I have to keep repeating myself? And sometimes you say it out of frustration, like, I've told you 10 times now. All right, well, that's the idea. Paul has repeated the same thing over and over. He has said, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. He said it in chapter 1, verse 4. He said it in verse 18. He said it in verse 25. He said it in verse 26. He said it in chapter 2, verse 2. He said it in chapter 2, verse 17. He said it in chapter 2, verse 18, and just go on and on. The point is, he said rejoice multiple times, and he's going to say it multiple times again. And so when he says, to write the same things to you, that's what he's talking about, rejoicing in the Lord. But he says, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. Like, I'm not frustrated that I have to keep saying it. It's good that I'm telling you this. Because here's what we naturally do, and here's what everybody would naturally do. We would have confidence in the flesh unless we were given a reason not to have confidence in the flesh. Until the flesh starts to fail, then we would have no reason to have confidence. He's saying, rejoice in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has given you an opportunity to have confidence, not in your own flesh, but have confidence in Jesus Christ. He's provided the acceptable substitute for your body, your blood, before God. So Paul says, you know, I have to keep repeating myself. It's not like I have to keep repeating myself. I'm glad I've repeated myself, and it's good for you that I'm telling you this and repeating myself. He says it in, you'll find that word rejoice or joy showing up, I don't know how many times. Up until this point, it showed up probably 7 or 8 times in Philippians. And that's what he's talking about, repeating himself. But he says it's not grievous. It's safe to say it. So the first thing is this: there's an opportunity to have no confidence in the flesh. The second thing is this: you got to beware of those who do put confidence in the flesh. Paul deals with this pretty well in Galatians. He deals with this problem, but let's read verse 2. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. All right, I tell you what, let's just look at this verse. Go back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Because Paul deals with people who have confidence in the flesh in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? So here's someone who it looks like trusted Jesus Christ at one point in time, and immediately after trusting Jesus Christ, maybe they didn't, it looks like they got some belief in Jesus Christ. Immediately after that, they went into the Jewish law and said, well, you've got to maintain the holidays, and you got to maintain the diet, and you've got to maintain the special offerings and all these special things in order to maintain your right relationship with God. And that was the idea, was we'll maintain all of our righteousness by doing these things, forgetting that they were never made righteous by doing any of those things. That it was by faith that righteousness was imputed to them, But now, all of a sudden, I mean, as soon as they get up from their prayer of salvation to get saved, as soon as they get up from that, they go right back into a religion trying to maintain or trying to be righteous before God. Really, it had to do with, I think a lot of it had to do with social standing. I mean, that was, you even see Peter and Barnabas getting swept away in this thing. Now, the other side of that, that's one side of having confidence in the flesh. The other side of that is, you pray this prayer of salvation and you maybe literally trust Jesus Christ, and then you go right back into the world living according to the flesh, which is just as much confidence in the flesh as some religious guy trying to beat up his flesh or trying to conform his flesh to some religious duties that he would think would make him more righteous before God. And so Paul said it this way. He says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Bewitched. And that's interesting. It's bewitching is enchanting. It is it's seducing. It's not the, you know, you read that word and you might think, well, these witches sitting around this pot of whatever and it's steaming and they're putting these rat's feet in it and whatever. No, bewitching is enchantment. Someone got seduced away from the Spirit of God into another spirit. And that spirit was a carnal spirit. And they got seduced away from it. And Paul says, you guys, this is foolish. You said at one time in your life that trusting Jesus Christ and believing the Holy Spirit of God would give you eternal life, and said, this is the best decision and the best leadership I've ever had in my life. And right after you said that, you said, all right, I'm done with that. Now I'm going back to my old ways. Which is it? Is this the best decision you've ever made? Or was this just another bump in the road? Is this actually good leadership from the Spirit of God? Or was this just good leadership for your soul, but it's not really good leadership for any other part of your life? Paul's saying that's foolishness. It's good leadership to not only save your soul, but it's good leadership to lead your steps after you got saved. And so this is why he says in Philippians, he says, beware of dogs. Anybody think of any description of dogs in the Bible that reminds you of someone saying, I've had enough of this, I'm gonna trust Jesus Christ, and then turning around and going right back into the thing that put them at enmity with God? Anybody think of any verses like that? Dog returns to his vomit. He says, beware of dogs. This is how dogs think. They return to the thing that made them sick. I don't know why they do it. It's just natural. It's disgusting. I don't know why. But that's what they do. And it's a picture of a person who says, you know what, I want to trust Jesus Christ. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I want to follow the Spirit of God. And as soon as they get up off their knees, they head right back into the world they came out of. And so Paul says to the Philippians, that is a description of someone who has confidence in the flesh. Maybe not a religious description, but just a description of everybody who just has confidence in the flesh. They've given up confidence in the Spirit of God. They might say, well, the Spirit of God's good to lead me into salvation, but the Spirit of God's not good to lead me anywhere else. Paul says that's fool's talk. That's just foolishness. And so this is one place he addresses it. So he says over in Philippians, he says, dealing with someone who has confidence in the flesh, he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. That's the works of the flesh. Beware of the concision. The concision is essentially the religious side of this thing. That was what Peter and Barnabas got sucked into early on in Galatians, where Paul has to deal with them publicly. But their deal was, they had when the Jews would show up, they'd stop hanging around the Gentiles. And they would kind of separate from the Gentiles and start kind of participating back with the traditions of the Jews. You know, yeah, we'll keep up with this and keep up with that, and kind of separated themselves. And Paul, he said, he withstood them to the face. Like, you guys are, y'all are leading these people astray doing this. You're bringing them right back into the thing they got out of. Confidence in the flesh. There's no confidence to be had in the flesh. So it says, beware of the concision. And it's always, it's interesting when he says it over in Galatians, I'll just mention this. It's always a who. There's some undue influence. When he says it in Galatians, he says it like this. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Meaning you have somebody that has influenced you against the Spirit of God to now trust the flesh, whereas when you got saved or when you professed to have gotten saved, you had no confidence in the flesh. Lord, I need to be saved. I'm going to die one day. I'm going to go to hell. I need to be saved. I have no confidence in this flesh to do anything, not of my works, but everything you did. And then as soon as you pray that prayer, right back to my works, right back to this flesh, right back to what it wants, right back to the same old stuff. And so he says that way, who hath bewitched you? There's somebody responsible. You're giving somebody an ear that you shouldn't be given an ear. That they have more influence in your life than they should. And that's why Paul says in Philippians, beware of dogs. Beware of the concision. Why? You spend that time with them and you're going to start thinking like them. And pretty soon before you know it, you won't even realize you're giving and having confidence in the flesh. You're just a part of the social norm, and that was Peter and Barnabas in Galatians. They just becoming part of it. It was a social thing. And so back over in Philippians, we'll go back to Philippians and give you this last thing about this. Philippians chapter 3. So he says this, to recap a little bit. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit, number 1. Number 2, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And number 3, have no confidence in the flesh. So he says, that is the definition of the circumcision. We worship God in spirit, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So, here's the difference of I'll tell you what, before I tell you that, look over in Romans chapter 2 to give you a cross-reference here. Romans chapter 2. And verse 28. Romans 2:28, Paul explains this really well in Romans. It says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Notice, we were talking about that this morning and with the fellas. All the mentions of the Jews, at least in the hierarchy, the Bible says they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And one of the things that they took pride in was the fact that they were children of Abraham. And even they had a deal with Jesus Christ about that. They said, we be Abraham's seed. He said, well, if you were Abraham's children, you'd listen to me. You'd love me. But you're not Abraham's children. And he's talking spiritually about them. Now, physically, yeah, they are Abraham's children. So here's the thing. I need to make this clear, because some folks have taken this and run to say, there's no such thing as Israel, God's done with Israel, all that kind of stuff. You've got to understand the difference between a nation and an individual. The nation of Israel is the nation God uses and will use and has used to reveal himself. The nation. However, individuals in that nation may not have all been saved. And from the record in the Bible, most of them weren't. However, in spite of individuals in that nation not being saved, God used the nation among other nations. The Jews had the law of God. They had the promises. They had the covenants. They have the land. They have all of these things that other nations don't have. So when he says he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, he's not saying God is done with the nation of Israel. It's all spiritual from now on. What he's talking about is individuals who are dealing with God. He says, you cannot count on your heritage to make you right with God. The circumcision is of the heart. Those matters are spiritual matters between you and God. He says he's a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter. I hope I'm making it clear to you. I hope you understand. There is the nation of Israel, which God has used, will use in the future, and there is also individuals. Those two things are different. And when God deals with individuals, he's dealing with you and me and every person on this earth on a spiritual basis. Your heritage doesn't matter, who your uncle was, if your dad's a pastor, if your uncle's a deacon, if your mom's a deacon, it doesn't matter. He doesn't deal with you on the basis of confidence in the flesh. He deals with you on the basis of spiritual matters. And so that's the individual side of things. The national side of things, completely different. God created a nation out of nothing. Remember, Abraham and Sarah can't have any children. And Sarah ends up with a child, Isaac. And then Isaac has children, Jacob and Esau. Jacob has 12 tribes, you know, all the 12 tribes of Israel. And God just created a nation out of two people who couldn't have any children. And so that was the nation that he chose to reveal himself out of. That was the nation he chose to born according to that nation. I mean, he's the son of David, all those things. So that's a national thing, but that's not what's being talked about. We're talking about individuals here having no confidence in the flesh. And so he says over there in Romans, he says they have, we worship God in spirit. How do you worship God in spirit? I'll give you a couple verses and just read these to you. David says it well. He says in Psalm 51, he says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. A broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. That's what God's looking for individually. Here's another one. Hebrews 13 says this. It says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That is a spiritual sacrifice. What did he talk about? The priesthood sacrificing spiritual sacrifices. So you worship God in spirit. That's what the Lord's interested in. If the if the physical properties are correct but the spirit is wrong, the thing is wrong. If you dot all the I's and cross all the T's and the whole thing is a show and the spirit is wrong, then the spirit is wrong and the thing is wrong. But if the spirit's right, and you may not dot all the I's and cross all the T's, which is a description of every single one of us, but the spirit's right, then that thing is right with God. That thing, that is the relationship God is looking for, the spiritual relationship. And then he says, rejoice in Jesus Christ. Not only worship God in spirit, but rejoice in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, he says, have no confidence in the flesh. And that's the theme of this whole thing. Now go back to Philippians, and I'll show you this last thing just to show you it throughout the whole chapter here. So I told you the theme is having no confidence in the flesh. In Philippians chapter 3, watch how this plays out. Look in verses 4 through 8. Philippians 3. Paul says this. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Anybody catch that? Y'all see what he said? Persecuting the church, killing people, touching the law, blameless. How do you reconcile that? That's what he just said. We'll cover that next week. I'll let you think about it. But he said, 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, the thing here, he has no confidence in the flesh. But if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, he would have it. But he has no confidence in the flesh. Look at it again. Look in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Wait a minute, what does that mean? We'll cover that in a couple weeks too. But he's talking about living this life as though he were presently living in his glorified body. Living this life in such a way that he has no regard for his flesh. And all he's looking for is that glorified body. And he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. Doesn't mean he's trying to work for the resurrection. That means in this life he's trying to live in such a way as though he had his glorified body now. We'll get to that later on in a couple weeks. Here's another one. Look in verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, now watch this, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All right, you see this theme? It's all about having no confidence in the flesh, this whole chapter. And he just runs the several elements of this thing. The first three verses we looked at, he's going to talk about his own testimony. He's going to talk about living in such a way as having no confidence in the flesh. Then he's going to talk about looking forward to a day where there's no need to even think about the flesh anymore. When the body is completely changed into the fashion of Jesus Christ, glorified body. And that's the day he's looking forward to. So this whole chapter, like I said, deals with having no confidence in the flesh. This is just a little piece of it. But there's some really interesting phrases in this chapter that can be really complicated. And Lord willing, we'll cover these in the next couple of weeks. But there's some good stuff that can be gained from all that. That's an interesting thing. So, Father, I thank you so much for your words. I pray it's been helpful. And Lord, thank you for putting these words in your Bible. And I pray you'd help us apply them where they need to be applied. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.